This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. If you think people who pay a lot of attention to English usage are generally boring and impassive, you'd be amazed at the passion flooding the grammar blogs and comments for the past month. It started when the American Copy Editors Society, convening in Las Vegas, got word that the AP Stylebook, the Bible of copy editors, would no longer make a distinction between over and more than. All heck broke loose in response, some of it chronicled by John McIntyre, the Baltimore Sun's night content manager, in his blog, You Don't Say. John McIntyre is past president of the Copy Editors Society, and he's here with me in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here.
Now, many of us have forgotten, what was the distinction between over and more than?
The imaginary distinction between over and more than is you must limit over to spatial relationships. One thing is over or above or another, and that it's illegitimate to use over in the sense of more than, a greater quantity. It's illegitimate in this understanding to say that I am over 40. I'm well over 40.
You'd have to say I'm more than 40?
If you believe that that is a rule, you would have to say I am more than 40.
And
I'm
the
more
AP
than
50. Said,
I'm
well,
more than
where, 60. Did, where did that come from, that the idea, which you say is mistaken, and which the AP Stylebook has now said is mistaken, but where did it come from?
I will explain. It was invented in the middle of the 19th century. It was a purely invented distinction, and it was popularized by William Cullen Bryant, the author of Thanatopsis, which, if you are of a certain age, you were probably made to read in school. He was also the editor for many years of the New York Evening Post. Mm-hmm. He had enormous prestige, and he included this over more than rule in his Index Expurgatorius. And it caught on among American newspaper editors and journalism teachers. And it exists as a rule nowhere else.
Not in everyday speech, not in
over way. Over in the sense of more than has been in use in English for 600, 700 years. I did a little research. Over in the sense of more than is in all the standard dictionaries. In fact, the American Heritage Dictionary has a usage note that talks about William Cullen Bryant and says that over, in the sense of more than, is pure standard English.
Well, so then why has this been such a trauma for copy editors to react to? I mean, you labeled your first post in late March, it's over. And then within a couple of weeks, you were writing, it'll never be over.
Well, the thing about editing, what we are paid for, the skill we bring, is to make distinctions of meaning, distinctions of usage, to achieve precision in language. And so when somebody comes along and tells you, as I have been telling my fellow copy editors, that this distinction that you have been enforcing day in and day out for your entire professional career is bogus, is a superstition, is what Brian Garner in Garner's Modern American Usage calls a baseless crotchet, you feel threatened. And this overreaction has the unfortunate effect of confirming the popular stereotype that copy editors are anal retentive, obsessive compulsives who insist on petty distinctions that nobody cares about.
But you write that just last week the AP sort of enforced another, it's not a distinction, but another usage that you don't approve of, and that is they suggested using sick, S-I-C. This happens in print, not in broadcast, to mark when the speaker that you're quoting has misused the language somehow or misspelled something.
Yeah.
You don't approve of that.
It indicates that you are, the word sick indicates you are reporting what this person said or wrote, and you know that what he said or wrote is a factual error or an error of grammar or even an error of spelling. And it is a usage that occurs occasionally in academic writing, and I think it's a mistake to include it in journalistic writing because, you know, journalists already look arrogant and snotty enough without reinforcing it.
That's John McIntyre, Knight Content Production Manager for the Baltimore Sun, here on Maryland Morning, WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about some observations in his blog, You Don't Say. You posted an interesting sort of test in your blog a few weeks ago. It was headlined, Count the Peeves. I'm going to ask you to read it to see if our listeners get the point.
All right, count the peeves. Irregardless of the consequences, many writers start out with giving thought about the readers they are writing for. And that begs the question, what do they think they're doing? Hopefully, they only need a little help to better achieve their purpose. They are literally starving for that good advice which is readily available, the sort this site is comprised of. Some, of course, could care less about precision and language. They may be beyond help. But those who are anxious to improve their effectiveness will find myriad sites, such as this one, that center around issues of grammar and usage and will prove to be impactful. Everyone can improve their writing significantly by paying proactive attention to reliable authorities, which can lead to an OMG moment.
Okay, I'm going to pause for a second to let that sink in. Let listeners collect their thoughts and perhaps count the peeves. And then I'm going to ask, I know how I reacted to that paragraph, but what are you saying the lesson is?
I hope no one is requiring medical attention. By my count, there are 17 peeves in that text. I constructed it that way. And the point of it is that while you were counting peeves and getting your back up about the things, all the things in the language there that you find irritating or that you think violate rules, you missed the point that it is an entirely meaningless passage. It's boring. It's pointless. And if you are obsessing about the things that you peeve over, there's a pretty good chance that you're missing the larger point, that what you're writing about or what you are editing is worthless.
A good lesson. Now, we have a quiz for you also.
Don't you have to Mirandize me first?
I don't think so. This is not criminal. None of this is criminal behavior, as I think you often point out.
All right.
But in an effort to capture how language is changing and to learn a couple words that some young people are using, we've compiled a short list of words that we want you to spell and define. Your first word is irky.
I have no idea.
Please spell it.
U-R-K-Y, E-R-K-Y. I don't know it.
I'll give it to you in a sentence. Please give me some space. I've had a long day and you're really irky.
Oh, probably irksome is the root of it.
So you're right. I-R-K-Y.
I-R-K-Y.
Okay, couple more. The word is bay.
B-A-Y?
No, B-A-E.
B-A-E. All right. And a context?
Kim hasn't been returning my calls. I think she has a bay she hasn't told us about.
A complaint, a grievance?
No, my theory is this is a derivation of beau. It's a significant other.
A significant, a sweetheart.
A sweetheart.
Ah.
We got a couple more. Yeah. The word is ussy.
U-S-S-Y?
Sounds like that. It's actually spelled U-S-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a context. Everyone get together, we're going to take an ussy.
Oh, it's a selfie with a group.
Very good.
What else could it be?
Excellent. Okay, last one. Word is seist. Please spell it and give me the definition.
Seist? S-E-I-S-T? S-E-I-Z-T? Am I?
No, it's just C-I-S-E-D.
C-I-S-E-D.
I am so seist that you're back on the show, John.
Excited?
Exactly.
Well, my excitement is hard to measure, too.
You had a blog post recently. You said, shut up about LOL, that there's a lot of usage by young people that older folks may not get, and we just shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. Every generation comes up with slang and jargon that the older generation finds impenetrable or irritating. I am of an age that I can remember when the word groovy was used without irony. So I don't worry about it. Slang either rises up, shines, and evaporates quickly, or which is what happens to most of it, or it sticks in the language and because it's useful and meaningful to people. So I don't worry about text speak. I don't worry about young people's impenetrable slang. It's just something they do for a while before they get old and jaded like me.
Well, you're always welcome here. Thank you so much for coming.
Always a pleasure.
John McIntyre, the Baltimore Sun's night content manager, whom some of us might call the copy editor. He blogs at You Don't Say, and we have a link on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also on our website, we have a link to McIntyre's Count the Peeves post. Don't drive yourself crazy looking for all 17 peeves. Maybe you're just not that peevish. I'm Sheila Cass. Coming up on Maryland Morning, how artist Joseph Shepherd painted on a grand scale. Stay with us on 88.1.